Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 2, we were teaching about all the glory of Satan before his fall. Listen to this interesting part today. He was perfect in all his ways, but he was not God. But as a result of pride, he fell. Before that, he was called here, we've seen, just read here in verse 14, the covering cherub. Wow. Just think of that. The covering cherub. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, he covered the most holy place in the tabernacle. Remember in the Old Testament tabernacle that there were two angels covering the mercy seat? It took two mighty angels to take the place of Satan. That is why Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, says, "The Lord rebuke thee." So I want you to understand, the devil is a very powerful creature. Before his fall, he was second only to God. But he wasn't happy with being second only to God. But this isn't the only passage. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Now, this is the line we're talking about in Nahum chapter 2, just a review of verses 11 through 13. And so I'm letting you know the person that is behind all of this, and to see that whereas Nahum 2, verses 11 through 13 talk about the lion, it's talking about the devil. And so I'm trying to help you see who this devil is. There he says in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Speaking of the angels were the stars of God. "I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit." You see, again, verse 12, Satan falls from being the highest over all God's angels, from even being the covering cherub, let alone being in charge of the music and jewelry of heaven. Being the covering cherub was even a greater honor. But he falls to the ground, to the earth. And he will be the one that tempts Eve, and Adam and Eve will fall. He knows that Adam would obey God, but Eve could be tempted. And so she, being tempted, fell. And Adam, in his love for Eve, Satan knew that was the way that he'd make him come down. Personally, I believe that God would have created another Eve, and maybe even I don't know if he could have made a better Eve, because when God does something, he does it all right, but he would have made an Eve that Adam could have loved. Well, he weakens the nations, and as Nineveh will fall, many of the empires that are using pleasure and violence and runaway fulfillment of all the depraved lust will find out the same thing. You know, some lusts are intellectual, but they're deceived. Some are sexual, and it looks at pride. Some are financial. Some are pleasures. but any way that Satan can desecrate God's holiness in your life or keep you from serving him, he's going to do it. That's why we're told in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, to put off the old man, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so that's what we're to do. Satan corrupts everything that he touches. Therefore, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Again, Satan keeps on trying, and he'll try again. But we do have a personal responsibility about purify your hearts, draw nigh to God, cleansing our hands. We need to do that. Verses 13 and 14 here of Isaiah chapter 14 said, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation besides the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Oh, my friend, that's pride. Pride defeats so many. You see, Satan was not satisfied with his position. Now, we've read of his position, covering cherub, charge of all the music and jewelry of heaven. And yet, his pride and his lust takes him further. Not satisfied with his position, he believes he can even deceive God, as he was able to deceive one-third of the angels. He thought he could overcome him and exalt himself above the throne of God. And he is cast out. Now, we've seen in the case of Job that for Satan to attack us, he must get permission from God to do anything. But if Satan gets permission to oppress you, it simply means that God has trusted you with it, knowing you will use the wisdom of his word and strength of his spirit to endure it, knowing you can't do it in your own wisdom nor your own strength. Now understand, he convinced one-third of the angels who knew God in person. I've seen good people I love get caught up in so many things, and before too long, they're causing trouble in the church. They get deceived, and people get hurt because they try to do things in their own strength. And that always leads to failure. And that's what happened. That's what happened with them. Now, Satan, in verse 15, will be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Satan will be chained in that same pit for 1,000 years during the millennium. Obviously, that's part of the place that you and I refer to as hell, and later, he'll be cast, after the millennium, into the eternal fiery lake. And by the way, that's the place that Jesus said in Matthew 25:41 was prepared for the devil and his angel. Jesus came to die on a cross for our sins. He paid it all in full. And that payment was everything that holy justice demanded. As we said earlier in 1 John 2 and verse 2, that he died for the sins of the whole world. But some reject that, and you have a free will to reject. But then you have to spend eternity, if you reject it, in the same lake of fire with the devil and his angels. They won't torment you. It is so bad, they are tormented. If it torments super spirits, understand, it'll torment you too. And that's why in Matthew 25:41, he says, "So shall he say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." My friend, don't die without Jesus Christ. Fallen angels have no hope. But right now, in this life, there is hope for you. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes from the Father but by me." He also let us know that if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. So let me encourage you to do that. Now, I have digressed here from our text here in Nahum chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, because I want you to see who this lion is, the devil. That's who he's talking about. So having laid out this doctrine of Satan, now let's go back and read verses 11 through 13 again. "Where is the dwelling of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lion's whelps, and none made them afraid. The lion did tear in pieces enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lioness, and filled his holes with prey, and his dens with ravin. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth, and the voice of thy messengers shall be heard no more at all." So now, we're seeing the draw of Satan here in verse 11. Again, "Where is the dwelling place of the lions and the feeding place of the young lion? Where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lions well, and none made them afraid." Afraid? Satan's way is always attractive to the flesh. Eve saw that the fruit was good to eat. It was pleasant. Pleasant to the eyes. It was a tree to be desired. That is, desired by the flesh. She liked the looks of the fruit. And she got what she wanted, but then she didn't want what she got in the end. What I want you to understand as well is that even though it seemed to taste good, and even though it looked good, the failure was Satan was able to deceive her and say, "Oh, God doesn't want you to have fun. Oh, look, God knows you'll be just like him, so that's why he's doing it." You see, the devil is a deceiver. And Eve, because even though she knew that in the day she would eat there, she'd surely die, that is, she'd be separated from God, she went ahead. And she gave in to the counsel of the devil because the desires of her flesh worked together with the deceptive counsel of the devil.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will